This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tandon.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that plans to be really OTP in 2007. We've just got a lot of stuff we want to talk about today. We're going to talk
this,
at you.
This is going to be a talkie.
A talkie, that's right. First of all, I guess SoCon 07 wrap-up.
Yes.
It was a few weeks ago, but, you know, we haven't talked about it on a podcast yet, and we've put up a bunch of podcasts from it.
Yes.
So I figured we should say something about it.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite session?
My favorite session was definitely the very first session.
Mm-hmm. Leonard Witt's session was pretty solid.
Leonard Witt, yeah, the how Web 2.0 will affect us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just liked it because there was a lot of energy and a lot of different things being discussed and sort of different perspectives, but people didn't seem to get like really hostile or defensive. I don't know. I've just noticed that sometimes at these kinds of conferences and stuff, people get sort of hostile about things, and I'm not sure why. I mean,
I don't know.
I get irritated and annoyed and mm-hmm. pissed off, but I don't know if I ever get hostile.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed the same thing at these unconferences. Well, not just unconferences. Basically, any time that you hand somebody a microphone, I think people, maybe they view it as a dramatic moment, and this is my moment to say everything I've always wanted to say when...
I don't know, yeah, if they haven't had a microphone in front of them before, maybe the floodgates open. I'm not sure. Although, at Blog Savannah, nobody had a microphone, and they were still very hostile.
Yeah, especially the business and PR session, there was a lot of hostility in that room.
Yeah, there really was.
And in that case, though, it was a little different because I think it was sort of caused by the people who were leading the session because they tried to dominate the whole thing. There was one woman in particular, and I don't remember her name.
Well, she wasn't leading that session, was she? She was like
an assistant. She was sort of assisting. Like, the woman who was leading it was okay. But
yeah.
But the woman...
She made the mistake of allowing this other woman to sort of...
Hijack it.
Yeah.
She was, I guess, what, the Savannah Business something or other?
Oh, she was with some newspaper, I think.
Yeah. And whatever it is, she was very intent on hijacking the session. And one thing that was good about SoCon is I didn't notice a whole lot of that.
I didn't either.
Hijack sessions.
They were good about, at least the ones that I was in and the ones that I listened to podcasts of, it seemed like, in general, people were very good about that. I will say that in the Women in Social Media Finding Your Niche session that I was in, they could have been a little better about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't go totally off the rails, but, I mean, it went sort of off the rails because there was this one guy who just could not stop belaboring the same point and the same question, even though he'd gotten answers and responses. I guess he didn't like those answers and responses, so he figured, well, if I keep asking, maybe someone will say what I want them to say.
Well, that's the mark of stupidity right there, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah, so I don't know what to say about
that. Sort of like watching the state legislature this year. There's your political rant for the day.
Yeah, we're not going to get very political on this one, but we have to throw in some zingers.
Throw you a zinger.
Now or then.
Kapow.
So, SoCon overall was really, really good. And I was very impressed with how Sherry and Jeff and everybody who was involved in organizing brought it all together. And it really inspired me because, as you may or may not know, PodCamp Atlanta is 2 weeks away now. And I've been doing a lot of organizational work, and it actually hasn't been freaking me out as much as I thought it would, but I'm really excited because a lot of the people who are at SoCon are going to be at PodCamp, and I think there's going to be a lot of energy there, and apparently Leonard Witt thinks that I'm the cat herder of the counterculture.
Official cat herder of the counterculture.
So I guess maybe some of the counterculture will be at PodCamp. Because he said that one thing that surprised him about SoCon was that there weren't more counterculture folks there. And then he said, where were they? Amber, do you know?
It's your responsibility to bring in the counterculture.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Anyway, do you have anything to say about PodCamp?
I wrote the press release.
He did, and made the t-shirt design
and the banner design.
Logo.
Yes, and the logo. But that's a very small fraction. Amber has really done most of the work on this, and she's doing a phenomenal job. As of, yesterday there were 140 people registered?
I think there's 142 now.
That's crazy. I mean, at some point, there's a capacity of, 200 people?
Yep.
In the place? You know, maybe a little more, but I mean, you're going to have to cut off registration pretty soon, don't you think?
Yeah, so if anybody listening to this has been lollygagging and dragging your ass and haven't registered, you better register soon.
Yeah.
And you better get there early on Saturday morning if you want a t-shirt, because I don't think we're going to have enough for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we ordered 150, correct?
Yep.
Do you think there'll be any more? Or?
Nope.
Yeah. So 150 t-shirts, first come, first serve. Ooh, prizes. Why don't you talk about the prizes?
Oh, yeah. Here's another reason you should come to PodCamp, because there's going to be a prize drawing. And among other
things...
Not a raffle, because raffles are gambling in Georgia, and this is not gambling. Among other things, you could win a set of V-Moda earphones. They're iPod earbuds. But they're really nice, you know, high quality. And they come in different colors. And they're $100 value. Well, V-Moda sent a box of 24 pairs of these.
24 of them.
And that's all thanks to Bill Palmer from iProng, because he has the hookup with all these iPod accessory companies.
Seriously, that's like almost the whole budget of PodCamp.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they, you know, comparison of monetary value and everything, they have contributed far and away more than anybody else.
Absolutely.
So there is a good chance that you will win some of these earbuds if you come, because there's so damn many.
Yeah.
And there's also going to be some software, copies of Snagit, you know, other things like t-shirts and candles, and probably some other iPod accessories, but I don't know what they are yet.
Yeah, there's a few still coming, but also, what about Pat's screencast software?
If you go to the screencasting session, somebody who's in that session is going to win a copy of Camtasia Studio. That's what you use to make screencasts.
It's a really kick-ass
program. If you're on Windows anyway. It's a Windows-only thing. So if you're a Mac user and you win it, then I guess maybe you can
sell it. You can give it to me, because I can boot Vista on my MacBook Pro.
All right, there you go.
Sexy.
So where else are we going in 2007?
Well, we're not going to Toronto.
No. Well, that already happened.
Oh, yeah. We're going to, I think the soonest one is PodCamp New York, right?
Uh-huh.
That's in, when is that?
That's April 7th. So we're going up there.
We'll also see your friend Daisha.
Yes, we will, which is good, because that means that we don't have to pay for a hotel.
Excellent. I like not paying for
which
hotels.
Which would be a deterrent otherwise.
Yes.
And then we're also going to go to Blog Her, which is in Chicago this year in late July.
And we're going to catch a Cubs game.
And do other stuff, because neither of us have been to Chicago. I guess we'll have to pay for a hotel there.
I did pass through the airport.
Well, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
I don't think it counts. Passing through the airport.
Dude, O'Hare is like its own city.
I know, but it's not Chicago. If it's its own city, then it's O'Hare and not Chicago.
So I've been to O'Hare, fine.
Okay.
Where else are we going?
We're going to the New Media Expo, which was formerly called the Podcast and Portable Media Expo in Ontario, California.
It sounds really fun. We were told, though, don't bother paying for it. Go to the free stuff.
Yeah. So we didn't pay for it.
Yeah, but
It'll still be fun. That'll be the furthest OTP that we can get without being in another country, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, not counting Hawaii or Alaska.
We could do the Antarctica OTP episode. That would be cold.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about fucked up Beatles songs now?
Yeah, Jesus. Okay, so at dinner tonight, we went to Fellini's, and they play a lot of oldies on the radio at Fellini's, and we were in a very critical mood, and so as the songs were coming on, we were going through them and sort of picking them apart, and somehow the topic of Beatles songs came up, and how many just twisted songs there were.
It was because that song, We Can Work It Out, came on.
Yeah,
and he really sounds like an ass.
Yeah, he does sound like an ass. He's basically the whole gist of the song, and actually I didn't pull this one up to play for y'all, but I probably have it somewhere. We Can Work It Out. His whole idea is that she should just go along with him and shut the fuck up.
And it, like you said, there's the right way, the wrong way, and the Paul McCartney way.
And what is the Paul McCartney way?
Wrong, but faster.
Yeah, sort of like Homer Simpson.
And no That's, questions asked.
It's like the Max Power way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moving along, we came home, and actually before we came home, we were at Fellini's, and I told her about a song on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that Getting Better song. It was a song that I'll play for you in a minute that was used in the Philips commercial, which, as you, let me click over to this thing here. It was used in the Philips TV commercials, and it's this really cheery, poppy song, but it's also got a really dark, psychotic side to it that Amber, to that point, hadn't actually heard.
I mean, it's such a poppy, fun song that I guess I just never really paid attention to the lyrics other than the chorus.
Yeah. So here it is. I'm going to start it in the middle here.
I used to be cruel to my woman. I beat her and kept her apart from the things that she loved. Man, I was mean, but I'm changing my scene, and I'm doing the best that I can. I admit it's getting better, a little better, all the time.
So that was Getting Better.
Isn't that nice that he's doing the best that he can?
He's doing the best that he can not to beat the shit out of his woman and keep her away from the things that she loves. What a swell fella.
That is some fucked up shit.
Yeah. So moving on to other psychotic Beatles songs, let's listen to Run For Your Life.
This is by far the most fucked up Beatles song, no contest in my mind.
I'd have to go through the entire catalog, but it's in the running for sure. So this is Run For Your Life from Rubber Soul. Just listen to the first 20 or 30 seconds here. It's messed up. So, how about that one?
That I had Rubber Soul in high school. I think I got it in maybe 8th or 9th grade. And that's the last song on Rubber Soul.
Yeah.
And I just remember that came on and I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I mean, it starts off like right from the top, I'd rather see you dead.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's the most fucked up song.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of fucked up songs, but that's up there in the running.
If anyone around the Beatles ever were to end up, you know, suspiciously dead, I think that song is enough to prove a motive.
Yeah, I agree. And if it's not, then the one we're going to play for you next, Maxwell Silverhammer. I think, yeah, this one's messed up too. This one is a little cheekier, though. I think
I like Maxwell.
Yeah, this is almost. I think they're just trying to mess with people.
I think "Run for Your Life" is just that's a flat out threat.
Yeah, I think that's just like some seriously fucked up anger issues.
But let's just play Maxwell Silverhammer
because this one's more
song.
Fun. We'll go out on the cheerful one.
Joan was quizzical, studied metaphysical science in the home. Late nights all alone. Test you, oh, oh, oh. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, calls her on the phone. Can I I take you out to the pictures, Joan? But as she's getting ready to go, a knock comes on the door. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead.
Yeah, how about that?
I like the sound effects in that one.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like a Clockwork Orange to me.
Yeah, I guess it does a little bit. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of these, and then also the one we heard in Fellini's, are all Paul McCartney songs, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they?
That's
a Paul McCartney song too, right?
Yeah. I don't have the credits sitting in front of me, but I'm guessing they probably are, because
Paul,
he sings all of them. Yeah. So, what's up? Why are you such a psychotic, Paul? You crazy, sick, sicko.
All right. Well, I think we've had about enough of that.
Couple more things to talk about. Mostly Augusta-related stuff.
Yeah, so shifting gears entirely. We're not going to talk about fucked up, thinly veiled death threats and songs. I have a couple of Augusta-related issues that I want to bring up. First of all, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Mockingbird Hill. Well, Mockingbird Hill is this little miniature village. It's in Augusta. It's near the Waterworks site, which is on Wrightsboro Road. Well, it's actually on Central Avenue, but it's right behind Wrightsboro Road. And it's been there forever. I mean, it's been there for over 50 years. It's this little miniature village. They've got a little church, some little houses, I think maybe a hospital, and like a little babbling brook or something. And so it's called Mockingbird Hill because everything is the size for a mockingbird. And it's also very close to a fire station, and apparently it was built by firemen in their spare time and with their own money and everything back in the early 50s. Well, now they're doing some work on the Waterworks site there, and they've had to temporarily move Mockingbird Hill. And somebody wrote to the Augusta Chronicle in early February and was just very upset. He immediately jumped to the conclusion that Mockingbird Hill was gone for good. Now, I don't think that it was really fair for him to jump to that conclusion, because he didn't have any real proof that Mockingbird Hill was gone forever, aside from, him just seeing that it wasn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I can understand why he thought that, because that's how they roll in Augusta. They knock shit down.
What was it you were telling me they were knocking down when you went up there this weekend?
Oh, they were knocking down these two really old buildings that were on Telfair Street that had been there for like 100 years, and they had put a really ugly 70s era facade on, but the buildings were still there.
Mm-hmm.
Except they're not going to be for much longer, because they're half demolished as of this weekend.
Mm.
But anyway, so back to Mockingbird Hill. It's just such a weird, cool little thing. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's very unique. And so this guy... Is that a train going by?
I think it is a train going by.
I think we can leave that in.
Yeah, fuck it.
There's a train going by.
Yeah, so that's a train.
Anyway, Mockingbird Hill is not gone for good. I don't want anyone to worry. Somebody else wrote into the Augusta Chronicle to clear this up. I knew about it ahead of time because someone on Flickr, who takes lots of photos of Augusta, had told me about it. They've just moved it. And the guy who wrote into the Augusta Chronicle to clear things up works for Parsons Water and Infrastructure, the company in charge of the water treatment plant project. And let's see, he says, Mockingbird Hill is safe. Please accept our apology for any concern regarding Mockingbird Hill we may have inadvertently caused. As construction manager for the expansion and upgrade of the Highland Avenue Water Treatment Plant, we know how important Mockingbird Hill is to the Augusta community, and we are committed to preserving this piece of Augusta history. So don't worry, people of Augusta, Mockingbird Hill will be back soon, and when it does come back, I plan to get lots of photos of it.
Yeah, I have never gotten to see Mockingbird Hill because we went up there to see it at Christmas, and oh shit, it was gone.
It's so weird and cool and just, it's one of those little things, you know?
Yeah. Sort of like that, what was that statue we saw? We saw, when we were in Gainesville. Do you remember in Gainesville, there was this bizarre statue of, like, a giant bunny or something?
Oh, Rabbit Town.
Rabbit Town, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's just one of those little weird Georgia things.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat little weird stuff. We want to see more of it.
I would actually like to find out more about Mockingbird Hill, so there may be a follow-up podcast on just that.
Now, I think you should try to interview that guy who wrote in.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe yeah. I will. So there may be more about Mockingbird Hill, and you might be wondering, how can there be more about Mockingbird Hill? But there will be. Just
oh, there
you
will.
Wait.
Just you wait.
I can belabor a point like none other. Now, moving on to other bird-related things. This weekend when I was in Augusta, my mom showed me some photos that she took of this robin who had, one morning, he was on their back deck, and he came up all the way up to the sliding glass door and just sat there looking into the kitchen. And like he was looking at something or looking for something. And he didn't look sick or injured or anything. He actually looked very healthy. And if my mom would walk too close, he'd hop away, fly up to the railing of the deck or to a tree branch. But then when she'd walk away, he'd just come back. And this went on for hours. He just sat there looking in for hours. She took some photos. I put them on my Flickr account. You have got to take a look at this because I really want an explanation.
Yeah.
Why would a robin do that?
And that was a chubby robin.
Yeah, he was very fat and well-fed. And he looked happy, healthy, but he just sat there for a few hours and then he went away. Just like that. So if there are any, what's the word, ornithologists? Are those the people who study birds?
Yeah.
If there are any ornithologists listening, professional or amateur, please tell me why a robin would do that. It is so weird.
It is weird. All right, well.
That's all I've got.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got. The only other thing I want to do is to encourage everyone to call our voicemail.
Call our voicemail if you have any information about the robin.
Yeah. Call our voicemail with information about the robin, or, you know, if you just want to shoot the shit. If you want, you know, to have a comment featured in a podcast, we like to interact with people. We want to do a lot more of that this year.
Yeah, if you call, we're pretty much guaranteed to put it in a podcast unless you say something just really stupid.
Yeah. And actually, it'll probably get in even if it's really
stupid.
We'll
just make fun of it.
We'll just mock it.
Yeah.
So that number you can call is 678-389-9441. Again, 678-389-9441.
Hey, hon, how was your day?
It was great, Sugar Bear. How was yours?
It was okay, I guess. John?
Yes, Alice?
I found this methamphetamine in your sock drawer. Is there something you're not telling me?
Oh, God. I have a drug habit, and I can't stop sucking cock.
No!
Did that conversation sound familiar? Does your man stray from his Christian faith at bathhouses and behind grocery store dumpsters? If so, he needs the new product from Christco that lets God-fearing housewives everywhere breathe a sigh of relief. Gay be gone.
After only 3 doses, the desire to wrap my lips around the cable guy's throbbing, veiny member had disappeared. By the 5th dose, the only sweet ass I had eyes for was Alice's.
Gay be gone. It worked for us.
Guaranteed to make your husband 100% heterosexual in 5 doses. Only $19.95. Call 1-800-555-NO-GAY to order now.
Interested in podcasting? Want to mingle with other podcasters or learn how to get started yourself? Then mark your calendar for PodCamp Atlanta, happening March 16th through 18th at Emory University. For more information and to add yourself to the registration list, visit podcampatlanta.com. And by the way, it's free.
¶¶
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.